right. Welcome to 51st Ghosts. My name is Yasmin. I am taking you through my journey of the shit that is LA dating. It might help to go back and listen to some of the previous episodes, or at least the intro, to kind of get a grounding of, you know, what's happening. Also, to my parents, if you find this for some reason, shut it off. Ma, I know you're trying to be supportive, but I don't need you listening to this. Just go to the interview portions. Don't forget, if something is, you know, tickling your mind as I go through my stories, you can email me your stories at ffgpodcast@gmail.com. Yes, I stand by that confidently. That's the email. You can also follow... Shit, I forgot to double check what I named the Twitter. I think it's like 51st Ghosts, probably. It's weird. Like, FFG Podcast was available for like Gmail, but not for Twitter. And like a lot of variations of that. So like, we're not available for Twitter, which I find strange because the Gmail was available. Sorry, if there's rustling, I'm adjusting my towel. But yeah, and then you can follow me at Yasmin Ghasiri, YasminGhasiri on Twitter and the other one, Instagram, the one I actually use. I feel like, I don't know, I don't understand the point of using Twitter to post things if you're not famous. Like, why are my thoughts that consist of like 140 characters or less interesting to people who don't like care about me? So here we are with McKenna. So McKenna was actually the first girl I attempted at dating? I just feel like she wasn't quite as interesting as Ashley, so I didn't start with her. And it's funny because while I was writing up the notes, I was like, wow, this girl was like a fucking piece of work. I actually did consider making her number one, but I don't know. I don't know what interests people, and like, you gotta grab people quickly. I know things like S-Town and like the first two seasons of like House of Cards. I kept wanting to say Criminal Minds. That's a good show from the beginning. It's like you have to like get time to get into it, but I don't want to be that because I don't know. I wanted to try to swing out. Whatever. I'm just going to swing out big. Okay. Speaking. So Edna. I met Edna. You're probably thinking, who the fuck is Edna? And for a second, I had a stroke. So, but Edna is part of the story. So I met McKenna through Edna. And Edna is actually someone I met through another friend who I met on Bumble. I had like a Bumble date, and the second we saw each other, we're like friends. And I met Edna, who's now become a close friend of mine. But I met this girl, McKenna, who came with Edna. And immediately I was like, ah, she's hot. Like, she's like super femme. And I was like, she's little, totally my type. But she came with my friend, so I was like, I'm not gonna do anything, right? And my friend was being like weird, you know, saying that McKenna was like being possessive and grabbing her and being like, you're mine, blah, blah, blah. But my friend was drinking and literally just got out of a breakup. So we're kind of like, the girl's probably fine, and Edna's being, you know, dealing with what she's dealing with. And so, as one does as an LA lesbian, we unfortunately went out again the next night. And McKenna was there again. But we actually talked. We went to a place where you go outside and speak. And we, like, really hit off. And I felt like there's this, like, flirty energy. You know, she followed me on Instagram. She liked 7 pictures in a row. And I gotta say, though, lesbians, like, okay. I don't think I need to say anything more than that, but I'm going to, because sometimes lesbian flirting is really strange because it involves marriage and kids. And that's sometimes how we flirt, and it's weird. I don't know. I don't know why, but that happened. Yeah, don't worry, I'm judging myself too. Now, she apparently seemed like she was into me enough. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know why my mic started doing that weird metallic thing. I have super shitty-ass old headphones in, so I thought maybe that was it. Anyway, podcasting for the win. Yeah, so there was an... Oh, yeah, I gotta pull up my notes. Fuck. Okay. Okay. This is the problem, guys, is I have a towel draped over my head and my hair is just so soft it keeps falling everywhere. And if I don't hold it up, it'll rub on the microphone. So struggle bus struggling. Yeah. Okay. Now, apparently, sorry, just puffed into your ears. Anyway, okay, getting together, frazzled mess. It's fine. I'm seeing a psychiatrist tomorrow. Get on some ADD medication again. Okay, so there was enough flirting going on where Edna was aware of it, and she was like, nah, bro, that's fine. And she wouldn't say bro, but she was like, nah, dude, that's cool. Go for it. And I even had another friend tell me that Edna was totally down with, like, me going for McKenna. That being said, McKenna still went home with Edna, so I'm not really, like, you know, sure, I guess. But I also really didn't know Edna that well. I just met all these girls. I had recently moved up to LA at this point. So I was just like, well, that's weird. You're flirting with me, and then you go home with my friend. Or your friend brings you and you're flirting with me. I mean, nouns. But you know what I mean. Either way, it's kind of weird. Either she came with someone and is flirting with me, or she flirts with me and go homes with someone else. Homes. Yeah. Okay. I texted with Edna a little bit afterwards, like the next day, and she's like, oh, so you and McKenna. I was like, well, you guys went home together. And she was like, nah, we don't have any chemistry. Like, it just happened. Like, you should totally go for it. So I was like, okay. So I began texting, or should I say sexting, McKenna. And it was like hardcore. It was a lot of sexting. And she's like super nerdy. So it kind of went into this like interesting I'm Batman, she's Wonder Woman role playing sexting thing. She even sent me like this sexual animated thing of Batman and Wonder Woman together. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'll go with it. You're hot. See, and that's how they get you. That's how the hot ones get you. You let people get away with shit because they're attractive, and then you end up with, like, McKenna. So we decided to go on a date, and we make plans. And it was really hard because she lives, like, in Santa Clarita, which is, like, a good, without traffic, like, 30 to 40 minutes outside of LA. And when is there not traffic? And she was all like, let's be adventurous, let's do this, hiking, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I was like, whatever. But she ended up picking a shooting range. Now, I hadn't been shooting in a while. I know enough about guns where I'm like, you put me on set, I'm an actor, I got this. Hashtag cast me. But apparently I didn't know enough to actually get onto the shooting range. I was there before her, and the guy was like, let me see if you know how to use a gun. And in my defense, I imagined myself on the shooting range, so why was he in front of me? He's like, you pointed the gun at me, and I'm like, why are you in my way? Okay, I was living in the moment, putting myself in imaginary circumstances, envisioning myself on the range, so why the fuck are you standing in front of me? So I failed, but I didn't text her about it because I assumed that she knew how to use a gun. Turns out she doesn't. Why would you choose a shooting range when you've never been shooting before? Or, like, not at least for a while, is beyond me. I don't want to die on a first date. I mean, Jesus. Anyway, so we left our cars at her brother's place, and we ended up going to City Walk by Universal to go bowling. And, you know, we had a little bit of a hard time looking for the bowling alley. Because we just kept walking towards the bowling ball pin, because there's a giant neon sign of a bowling pin. We went up a few floors, we walked around, we came down, we kept walking around. Turns out there's no fucking bowling alley. And it has not been there for years. Like, years. Like, two. But still, that's an extended amount of time where there's been no bowling alley. So we're like, okay, fine, we'll go to Margaritaville. And we get in there, and they already did last call. And we're like, well, fuck. Like, great start. So we end up finding our salvation at Saddle Ranch. We get drinks and we go to an area where we can talk because she wants to talk, you know, and get to know each other, which I thought was pretty cool. So that made me think she was into me. Little did I know I was wrong. And, like, these guys came up to us and they're like, oh, you guys are cute. You want a date? And, you know, she didn't know my preferred gender pronouns are they and them. I'm non-binary. Hashtag woke. No, I'm kidding about the hashtag woke part, because I am. actually non-binary. But so she used the word she, but she was like, yeah, of course, like, look at her. She's so attractive. I'm like, okay, like, this talk girl thinks I'm cute and we're having a good time. And I'm making her laugh a lot, telling her about my very, very justified fear of cows. That's for another time. Fucking cows, man. And then Edna comes up, though. And Edna was, like, jiving with McKenna because, you know, they both like country music and they're both super into working out, like CrossFit and stuff. But then McKenna was like, oh, no, no, I'm not that into country music. And I only like to work out to look good. I'm not, like, into, like, serious working out like she is. And I was like, that's interesting. And then McKenna was saying that Edna was the one being weirdly possessive, which is exactly what Edna said about McKenna. And I'm like, I literally just met both of them. Like, I maybe knew Edna for a day or two, and by day or two I mean like going out to the club, longer than McKenna. So honestly, actually, Edna and I really hadn't had like actual conversations before, so I really kind of knew McKenna better, but I was like, okay, this is weird, but whatever, not my business, right? I'm not gonna judge her, anybody. Maybe it was lack of conversation, who knows. So we leave the restaurant, we're like all over each other. It's like we're not a WeHo anymore, but you know, very touchy-feely. We go back to her brother's place and we we go in the back and we just chill and stuff, and we just talk about deep stuff, cuddle and all this stuff. And I didn't see talking about exes as a red flag because she kind of always was the one who got left and hurt. Like, her being the victim is a very chronic thing in her life. Like, I don't know what she's been through, but from what she's told me, she's fine. Okay, like, she's fine. There's a very good chance that she has chronic depression or anxiety I don't know about, but like, if she was trying to act like a victim, I was like, you're fine. But retrospectively, I think there was a lot of red flags there, bringing up the exes so much, which sidebar, honestly, the idea that you can't bring up exes or baggage or your past until a certain number of dates have, like, happened is why I think there's so many issues. Like, I actually now, having had so many lesbian friends and dealing with the fucking shit of falling for a friend, which is another episode, I honestly see the value of being friends first, you know, because you talk about so much stuff and you get stuff out of the way before building a romantic relationship. And one of my friends was like, dating doesn't work because you don't get to build that foundation naturally. You have to leave holes in the foundation and not put all the bricks in because you can't bring it up yet. And honestly, I'm very grateful for the breakup. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. But I kind of do think that if my ex and I were friends first, we maybe would have lasted, because there's so much she couldn't open up to me about and talk to me about. But if we were friends, it could have been different. You know, she specifically couldn't open up to me about stuff because we were dating. And that kind of thing is ridiculous. And I think it creates this weird culture of hiding the crazy before, you know, like, you're caught kind of thing. It's like you have to catch him before you show all your true colors. And it's like, no. But at the same time, if someone's way too open in the beginning, you're like, whoa, this bitch. But at the same time, then you end up in a relationship and you're like, I didn't know this about you. Or why do you keep hiding things from me and about yourself, you know? So, I don't know. It's kind of a thing where, on the one hand, I think it's good, especially if it's delivered in a good way. And on the other hand, I'm like, oh, maybe you have issues. Anyway, we left and we were kissing goodbye, and she said, this is going to be fun. I thought she meant dating and sex, but I guess she meant playing with me. Because here's the thing, is you have to remember, this is the first girl, so I'm just like kind of like really focused on wanting to have sex. I want to date someone, you know, and it's kind of awesome. We met through somebody. We didn't meet on an app or a dating site. We met through a friend, and she's cute. No, okay, I take that back. She's hot. I don't want to be a dick. You know, she doesn't have the greatest smile. Anyway, but I was kind of like, yeah, I want to have sex. So I might have been a little too focused on things and ignoring some of the red flags. So I decided to let Edna know about the date. You know, if we were going to be friends, I might as well be honest. And she was already cool with it. And I found out that McKenna and her had just hooked up like literally the day before our date. She was in Edna's area and hit her up. So this is where it kind of gets like a little weird, because at the same time, we hadn't gone on a date yet. You can do whatever you want. But then like Edna started kind of, I don't want to say doing character assassination of McKenna, but she started saying stuff where I was like, I don't know. It was weird a place because I didn't know Edna. Looking back on it, Edna was being a good person and warning me. But at the time, I was like, I want to fuck this girl. And you're saying things that I don't know how to take because I don't know who you are. Edna was saying how she feels like McKenna says what people want to hear, right? Like the whole like, oh, no, I'm not into country music and working out. I'm into Harry Potter and nerdy stuff like you. But, you know, I didn't make that connection at the time. It was just kind of interesting because I was like, I can see that. But at the same time, like maybe Edna felt like, you know, McKenna was saying that and that's why she missed. I don't know. It was just weird. And she also said that McKenna said that she wanted to be friends with benefits. And I was like, okay, why would you want to be friends with benefits with someone then go out with their friend? But at the same time, I am telling my friend, hey, I went out with this girl and I really like her. And then she's like, oh, well, that girl who you like wants to be friends with benefits with me. And mind you, this was old tech, so who knows what the tone was. I'm sure not. It was not that. But it just kind of sucked, you know, because I was like, I actually like this girl. It's my first person dating after my ex. And like, there's just a lot of stuff I liked about McKenna. And like a lot of it probably was forced. But one of the things I really did like was her brother was really cool with me immediately. And I didn't have that with my ex. I didn't know until I was dating my ex that having a good relationship with her family and being accepted, especially by the brother figure, was important to me. And so there was just like so many good things I felt happening. And to have someone kind of tear that down made me very, it made me defensive and blind to the red flags that were there. And I don't know why, but like why I didn't pick this up, but you know, during the date, she had mentioned how, you know, she was young and she can date around if she wants, and that's totally fine. And she said that that's part of the reasons why she went out with me. She said, literally gesturing to me, which is why I did this, in reaction to Edna being possessive. So she literally told me that based off of Edna, she was going out with me. She actually told me, and I still missed it, that she literally was going out to like be like, well, fuck you, Edna. I'm going to go out with your friend. Jesus Christ. It's just like, it's more like about me than it is her. You know what I mean? People have their reasons and they do what they want, but man, I was just blind because I was just trying to heal. So we end up having trouble planning the next date because she doesn't live close. She also kept wanting to stay in, like, there's opportunities to go out, but, you know, she was really drained. She works early in the morning. I was like, okay, I get that. But she made it seem like she did want to hang out. Like, one time we were both at the beach and we missed each other, and she was really bummed about it. So I thought she was interested, but then things just got really weird for me to interpret, like, hot and cold. Like, for example, we'd be texting, and it would start off kind of like sexting, but then it would turn to something cute. Like, she would make it romantic, like, on Snapchat, make like the bit emojis of us being a cute couple-y thing. And I was like, either she's avoiding a sex scene or she wants to make it more of a dating thing and not so much of a hookup thing. But then at the same time, I had a feeling that if I didn't reach out to her first, she wouldn't reach out to me. So it was just like a lot of weird mixed signals on my end. But we kept texting, and I actually got a lot more red flags that I don't know why I didn't choose to follow, because some of them I was like aware of, right? So she has this like Edgar Allan Poe tattoo, and it's basically like, even within the sober eye of reason, you can see some semblance of hell. Like, earth is still like a type of hell, and like even reasonable people can say that, right? And I was like, what the fuck kind of tattoo? Like, first of all, I like Edgar Allan Poe. Like, I like Emily Dickinson. Like, I like poetry and dark macabre stuff, but you are literally, like, writing on your body that, like, life looks like fucking hell. And I was like, okay. And she said that, like, the reason why she has it is because she lives in her own personal hell every single day and tries to make the most of it. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, okay, you're hot and we've gone 2 dates, so maybe we're close to fucking. But I did think that was weird because I'm like, you work a good job. Like, it's a 9-to-5. You live rent-free. And it's like, from what she's told me, other than the coming out process, which is honestly hard for everybody, you seem to live a good life. And again, who knows what secrets she had? You know, who knows what else she had? And I get it. You know, like living at home, not being out on your own, like not feeling like you're pursuing a passion. Like, I get that. That is hard. Oh my gosh, I actually forgot to write this in. Hilarious side note. So she was actually looking at moving to Washington and like going to school for graphic design. And my ex is from Washington and went to school for graphic design. I thought that was fucking bizarre as shit when she told me that. Anyway, it was just kind of like, that was a weird thing. And it was also kind of some BS just because like, she was like, I know you don't know me very well, but I'll be here for you if you ever need to talk. And it's like, I had a lot of family stuff going on. A classmate of mine had passed away. I was just not in a great spot, but I'm like, you're not really going to be there. Like, why do you want to be there for me if you don't care? It was like this fakeness and I can almost feel it. And yet I kind of kept putting up with shit, you know? Then one thing led to another and we ended up having a phone call that mostly was about Edna. The details are fuzzy because I didn't realize my dating life was going to be so shitty. I was going to make a podcast. But like, McKenna wasn't happy that Edna was kind of talking negatively about her because she still wanted to get invited to like, you know, lesbian group stuff because everyone wants to be a part of the fucking L word. And you know, and I get it, but at the same time, Edna wasn't necessarily talking in negative. She was just kind of giving me a heads up, which I didn't see at the time. And then the friends with benefits thing came up, and she was saying that she would never, ever have a friends with benefits while dating, like around or someone. Like, she would never do that. And she said that she told Edna that, I know, Edna, what a ridiculous name I picked. That she felt like they're being more like fuck buddies and she didn't like that. I don't think she was telling the truth, to be honest. But again, I didn't know Edna. Like, I really didn't. We had a disagreement about something and that was pretty much the extent of my relationship with Edna at the time. Actually, we had our disagreement later. But I didn't know her. But I also felt like, I don't know how someone can misread that. And I was just getting really confused. But it ended up being like a fine conversation and she seemed really positive about it and she wanted to go on another date. So this was on a Thursday that we did our date and there used to be a lesbian night at Revolver through Queertainment, which still does monthly pop-ups, I believe. And Edna had actually texted in a group that she was going there. So we decided not to go there. We decided to go to the Abbey because McKenna wanted to avoid Edna. And it was fine. Again, it was like a good time. Like, I was making her laugh. She liked how much she liked humor. One thing I gotta say that was a little weird is I was talking about being mixed and being half. Like, you know, I'm half Persian. She was like, I'm half too. And I thought she was Latina. She was half Italian. That does not make you mixed. I'm sorry, honey, but you're white. And she just, it's almost like anything that could marginalize her more, she wanted to grab onto. Because I'm sorry, honey, it's not 1912. Italians are not considered not whites, you know? I was like, you don't know what it's like to be mixed. I'm detained at the airport all the time and I look white as fuck. So that was just kind of like a weird red flag. That was like, this is weird. Anyway, McKenna was all like, oh, should we go to Revolver? Blah, blah, blah. Because Edna's there, and I'm like, we can go. She's a fine, normal person. She seems really chill about everything, you know? Like, she didn't have any qualms with us going out. So we end up going to Revolver, and Edna's actually there with a girl, like, on a date. And we said hi and all that stuff, and then we went on our separate dates. But then, like, McKenna was getting all jealous and shit. And I actually called her out on it. I was like, you seem like you're jealous. Like, you seem genuinely jealous, and you want to go out with Edna, basically. And she was all, no, no, that's not the case. And, like, we made out a little bit and danced, but, you know, that's where the night ended, which is fine. Retrospectively, at the time, I was, of course, irritated. So I just wanted to have sex to move on past my ex, which is silly, even though it did kind of help. Anyway, I decided to hit her up one more time. We've had 2 dates. which I might have said earlier, and I got that mixed up. We had two dates. I'm like, sex might be on the table. It's this weirdly misogynistic view that is ingrained in us. Because here's the thing. A lot of straight girls will hook up with, like, lesbians, like, who are, you know, curious straight girls, because they feel like we're safe. But here's the thing. There is a lot of misogyny ingrained within lesbian culture. The way lesbians call dibs on girls, the way they talk about girls. And I was actually very shocked. I was really shocked when I first saw that, because you would think being female-bodied people, and it's funny, I know mostly femme-ish and, like, cisgender lesbians, you would think they would have been a little bit more, like, cognizant to how they're behaving. But honestly, the way they look and treat women, it's very digested. And I think the view of women, the objectification of women, isn't so much through the male gaze that's the problem. It's just that everyone sees women this way. I mean, even gay men objectify women all the time, wanting to touch their breasts. The first thing they say is just how beautiful you are. Like, it's not straight men who objectify women. It's literally everybody. I mean, with Ruby Rose and how many straight girls were all like, oh, I would totally be gay. I mean, even straight girls objectify girls. And so it's this really weird thing ingrained within society. And sometimes you just have to check yourself and see at what point do you begin and does society start. And I was annoyed. I was like, I bought her drinks. Why aren't we having sex? And a part of me was like, no, we should be fucking by now. And that's stupid that to think that. No one's entitled at all to have sex. So it doesn't matter if you buy $300 worth of drinks. Like, you're not entitled to someone's body. Anyway, I wanted to have sex. So I wanted to hit her up. At the same time, I was like, I don't know if I want to. So that's why I kind of tested the whole, like, would she text me back first? And turns out she doesn't. But I decided to give it one more try, and I invited her to go out for a Sunday fun day with a group of us. She had wanted to hang out with lesbians, but it was during a really awful heat wave this summer, and she didn't want to make the drive down from Santa Clarita, which is probably like a 30-40 minute drive down to WeHo, and she didn't want to spend the whole day drinking, which I found really offensive because I don't really drink much, and that's not the point. You know what I mean? I could just drink at home. The point is to go out with people, have fun, like, get to know your new friends, make memories. And I was kind of offended. I think I even texted her. At first I was like, oh, okay, but then I was like, no, that's not okay that you degraded my attempts of getting to know new people to, like, drinking all day. Anyway, I went out and I had a great time with my friends. And I was on Snapchat, and I saw a little preview of her Snapchat story, and I got a little suspicious. So my friend and I looked at her story. Turns out she went to a bar all the way down in Huntington Beach. That's in Orange County. So instead of driving 30 to 45 minutes to WeHo to drink, she drove probably 2 hours to go and drink. You cannot lie on social media, okay? Like, this is something that the world needs to know. I see people do this shit all the time. You can't tell me you're busy and then post an Instagram story of you at the beach. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be smart about lying. You have to cover your ass. I'm sorry. You don't tell someone you don't want to drink and drive. Well, that came out wrong. You should never drink and drive at the same time within the same, you know what I mean? And then go and do exactly what you don't want to do. Oh my goodness. And that's why I was done, and I stopped reaching out to her, and because I didn't reach out first, she never reached out to me. And she likes all my shit on Instagram, which is hilarious because, she follows everybody and likes everyone's stuff. It was just kind of like a thing where it was like, I don't know, like, you're gone. You're done. So then I ended up talking with Edna about it. Edna was bartending at Pride, and we really just talked about McKenna and how weird she was, you know? And like I said, Edna and I had become close. And the entire time during this, Edna wasn't trying to be a dick, trying to dissuade me from a hot girl because she had sex with her first. Edna was just being like, yo, bro, she's kind of like weird. I would keep your guard up. But because we weren't bros at the time, I didn't see that. I didn't see a friend looking out for me. Which is unfortunate because I think I let my, like, primitive wants and my socially constructed needs in the sense of, oh, I want to fuck a hot girl versus, oh, I went through a breakup, so I should want to have sex with someone, you know, get in the way of seeing someone who is really genuinely there to help me. So, Edna, if you got through this episode and you know who you are, girl, and I don't know why I gave you the name Edna, you just roll with it. I'm sorry I didn't believe you in the beginning, and, you know, thank you for being a good friend from the beginning. But anyway, you know, at Pride, McKenna was like, oh, it's good to see you, blah, blah, blah. And then she was getting, like, drinks from, like, McKenna getting drinks from Edna the whole time. And I was like, Jesus, girl, like, what the fuck? I mean, to go from how much we were talking and texting, which, like, one of my friends pointed out, like, who knows how many other people or, you know, girls she was talking to, you know, to talking that much, to trying to go out, like, really going out of your way, like, to drive, like, to see someone, and then to drop off the face of the planet, I mean, that sucks. You know, I actually think I'm the one, like, who convinced her to get a cat. She got a cat, and I think it's because I convinced her. I mean, I think I can convince anybody to get a cat, but, like, oh, man, it's, like, weird going through these stories. I feel like I'm reliving it in a way. It's like this kind of almost PTSD sort of thing because it's unacceptable. Like, that kind of behavior sucks. And granted, I wasn't exactly being a great person during this. I was not opening my eyes to red flags. I wasn't believing good people. And I just wanted to kind of have sex with this girl. But at the same time, at least I, like, texted and replied and tried. I was way more open, and I feel like I'm kind of realizing I was maybe a little bit more of a jerk than I thought I was, but I'm being real with you guys. You know, I'm telling as much of the full story as I can because we don't know. You know, maybe McKenna does live through a hell every day, and that sucks. She's moved, and hopefully she's doing way better, and she's happy, and she doesn't feel like her life is a living hell every day. But, man, sometimes it's just kind of like, I guess mainly what it is like the first girl I meet, the first girl I try to go out with doesn't even want to go out because she wants to go out with me. It has nothing to do with me. She didn't look at me and say, I think you're cute. I think you're funny. Let's go out. She said, you're cute. You make me laugh, but your friend isn't paying enough attention to me. So I'm going to go out with you. And that sucks. And that was my first actual kind of dating experience in LA. And it did not set a very good tone. That taste took a while to get out of my mouth. And not in a good way? Question mark. Anywho, thank you so much for listening and getting through what I think is probably the second most boring episode of this podcast. Because it's just after this next one. Which, no, the next one's actually going to be an awkward sex story, so it should be good. It just gets funky. Don't forget to email in your stories that you think are wacky, weird, ridiculous, awful, you name it, to ffgpodcast@gmail.com. And then I can read them back to you and, you know, share with other people. Don't forget to follow on social medias at Yasmin Gassiri. I am just in such a habit of spelling my name, YasminGhasiri. And then whatever the fuck the Twitter is for this 51st Ghosts, I don't know. I think it's the podcast. I'll check for next time. I mean, I probably won't, but I'm saying it. I'm going to try. And don't forget to like or rate or whatever you do on whatever platform you're listening to this on and share with your friends. And when it comes to dating, good luck out there. Because it's a ghost town.